I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Oh, a great tackle by Steve Tasker.
Into the end zone. Touchdown. Touchdown.
And he's got it at the 10-yard line.
Touchdown. Touchdown. Touchdown, Buffalo. The Bills win it in overtime.
Welcome back. Hour two of the show. John Murphy, Steve Tasker, One Bills Live at the NFL Scouting Combine in Indianapolis. Joined by a familiar face, one of our favorite guests. We've got Bills General Manager Brandon Bean with us here in our broadcast location. I say that because I want you to come on the show more often. That's why I say
Well, you didn't tell McDermott he was one of his favorite, did you?
I might have said that yesterday, as a matter of fact.
All right. We'll let it slide this
he
time.
He did.
Hey, thanks. When you and I passed each other in the hallway last week, and we were talking a little bit, and you said something that's kind of resonated with me about, yes, the combine is here, and there's TV, and there's stuff going on, and everybody sees the tangible results, but there's also like a sub-combine that you were talking about, people just talking and exchanging ideas from different teams.
Yeah.
I assume that started already, right?
Yeah, 100%. You know, as you come here, you've obviously looked through free agency. There's reports on guys that have inflated cap numbers and things like that. So you're always looking for ways to improve your roster. And so, yes, some of those conversations, I've had three calls last week. Hey, just to get you ahead of the curve, we may move on from – you know, these guys on these teams, and asking me, did I have any guys that they should look at or any positions? And so that way when we run into them here, hey, what did you think about this player? Would there be any interest in a swap or a swap for picks? And that will pick up even more once we get it into the workouts, because what happens is you're all in the dome, you're all in these suites, and this group will run, and then there's, you know, 20, 30 minutes of dead time. And so you walk down the hall, you see your buddy from this team, that team, and sometimes – conversations you didn't even know were going to happen where you're talking about your roster, and well, you know what, we're heavy this position if that's what you think you need, and so who knows if anything will come to fruition, but we're always looking to improve our roster, and if there's a chance to do that, we'll try and make that move.
Yeah, and it's this draft, and it always happens that something kind of overriding comes through. This year it's Kyler Murray.
Mm-hmm.
And his size and his physical measurements, and is he going to throw, is he going to run, and you've said, and it's obvious, and we've talked about it a couple of times, you're not in that horse race anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
And you've already got your guy, and it's nice to sit there and watch the, you know, you can kind of relate to it on one hand, but yep. On the other hand, it's like, man, I am so glad I'm not in that fight.
No, I found myself when the quarterbacks were walking across the stage after they're getting weighed and measured and all that stuff, watching who's really focused on every little thing. Cause I'm going, a year ago we were here scrutinizing every little thing, every measurement. Okay, that's his hand size. Okay, he measures out at this. What's he weigh? And just what's his body look like? And obviously we're still looking at these guys and writing our own notes, but it's funny, the teams that you kind of know are in that market. Obviously everybody knew, it was no secret what market we were in a year ago.
Sure.
I'm glad we're where we're at, and we know we got a lot of work to do, though.
You might hear from some of those quarterback needy teams, right, with the ninth pick in the first round.
We could. It'll be interesting. You know, it's everybody's playing poker right now. Yeah. with what they're going to do, and we were doing the same last year. I think as the process goes, you know, there may be some names that people have as the fourth or fifth quarterback, but in a couple of months, those things can flip three or four times. And so I think it will be interesting to see how it plays out and how many guys do go in the top 10. It's a quarterback league. If you think that guy fits your team, then you got to be aggressive to go get him if you want him. The last thing you want to do is be sitting on your hands and watching somebody else go get a guy that you like.
So you've been doing this general manager thing. Your counterpart, Steve Keim, yesterday made this statement that still resonates with a lot of people. They've got the first pick of the draft.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times that pick ends up being a quarterback, whether he deserves to be there or not. So he says they've got their guy for right now.
Mm-hmm.
So does that, to you, as a poker player,
yeah,
what's that tell you about the Cardinals? They've got a – does that kind of throws their front door open for business, does it not?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't hear the words, but, you know, if what you're saying sounds like, you know, they're saying right now, then maybe that doesn't mean in 2 months from now. I don't know. I don't pretend to know. I haven't seen Steve, but I'll ask him about it when I run into him and see what he says. But, yeah, I mean, listen, maybe they're playing poker too. Maybe they want to make people think that they're going to draft a quarterback so that somebody comes up and gives them a whole haul of picks.
Right.
So, a lot can be read into that, and that maybe that's exactly what Steve wanted to say.
Yeah, right. We're with Bills general manager Brandon Bean here at the Combine. You're putting in long days. How much of your time is spent on meetings with agents? And who are these agents? Are they for your current guys or?
Both.
Both?
Yep. So you're always talking to teams, but you're generally, you know, the agents are here. This is a thing for everybody. So you run into, you have a coffee, whatever. And sometimes there's agents that are here that are representing players that are getting drafted, and you talk about who they've got, and because what happens is some of these guys you want to get on privates and pro days, so you want to try, and if it's a hot name, you got certain days that fits your schedule. Hey, can we, this pro day's on March the 15th, can we get them on March the 18th and do that? So, but we'll obviously talk to agents that our guys have that maybe we're still trying to extend and so forth, but it's good to see him. There's a lot of good guys, and we have our contingent of Jim Overdorf and Kevin Megang, and they're here. And maybe, you know, who knows, maybe we walk out of here and have one of our guys extended.
Well, let's talk about some of your guys. And let me start with the guy you were asked about this morning, Jordan Phillips, who it seemed with the retirement of Kyle Williams, he might have a bigger role to play. That's got to be a factor in any conversation you would have with him or his agent right now, right?
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, Jordan has started some in this league. He's backed up. He was a second-round pick. He's a talented young man. For certain reasons, everything hasn't played out perfectly for him. That's why he was available. I thought he brought a great energy to our team, especially at home. He brought an energy and an edge, and that's kind of one thing that I told him. I said, hey, if I was being critical of you, I would say, hey, just add a little bit more of that on the road.
Yeah.
And not that he wasn't, but I really felt him at home a little bit more. And one thing he said, I love playing in this stadium. I love our fans. And I said, I told you, you're going to love this place like a college. And he said, that's a good point. He took it, and he's like, I just love playing in our stadium and our fans. And he's a neat kid. We'd love to get him back. But he's a free agent. He's earned that right, and he's got to make a business decision. And we have a value we put on him, and his agent has a value they put on him. So we'll see what happens.
Could he be an answer at that position, though?
He is talented.
Yeah,
he can rush the passer. He can play the run. He can do different things. I mean, he's a big kid. He's got athletic ability. Again, I know exactly why he was drafted in the second round. I was in Carolina when that was going on, but we had good grades on Jordan as well.
You know, it's all a big balance, and is so excited about all the money that you guys have to spend in the cap, and you kind of positioned yourself over the last 18 months to get there. You're here. But all of a sudden, then you got, you know what, we got some guys that we have that we don't want to be free agents. You know, there's like 15 – you know, oranges that you got to keep in the air all the time. You're trying to juggle the balance between which guys to keep, which guys to extend, and which guys to kind of say, hey, thanks, it's been great, but we're going to go in a different direction. Plus, go out and shop.
Yeah, yeah.
100%. I mean, you've got a lot of irons in the fire right now, and this is the time of year, and this is just one more of them, this being at the Combine. What's the next step, tangible step you guys need to take to move forward in the process of this offseason?
Well, I think it is. You know, we've gone through our free agency meetings. We've had two rounds of draft meetings. So we see where the value is on the boards, where we can, you know, if we don't get this position in free agency, we'll have opportunities in our mind throughout the draft to add guys. So that's part of your planning. If it's a thin position, you know, you go, man, we probably better take a good shot at it in free agency within reason. But if it's not, you can say, hey, let's try in free agency, but hopefully – you know, we think in the mid rounds we could really get a guy of value to add. So we've done all that. Unfortunately, free agency is very fluid, so you can put your target. We got our A targets, our B targets, our C targets. We've got price values that we think they fit in the comps around the league. But again, all it takes is one team,
right?
And you can put a guy and you think he fits in the $8 to $9 million year, and one team pays him 12. Well, that would be stupid for me if I did my due diligence on him before that other team paid him 12, and I said, well, I'll pay you 12 and a half to get you. that's how you get yourself where this team was, quite candidly. And to your point, we have guys that we're trying to grow and build our culture and build our thing. The last thing I want to do is let a good player that we've spent all this time developing walk out of the building on his own terms because he didn't want to be there or we didn't have the money.
Right.
And so we have to be smart, judicious, whatever word I've used since the season's over, with our spending. And we do have to add pieces. We understand there are holes, but we also have to plan one eye today and one eye tomorrow. I can't spend it all, and then these draft classes the last 2 years come up, and we're in cap hell, and we can't sign them.
On the topic of free agency and your offensive line in particular, you've got three guys who on the roster for the last couple of years, Mills, Miller, and Groy, who are hitting free agency. Is there interest there in bringing him back? And I wonder, are you eager to see maybe what Bobby Johnson might be able to provide for that group or some of that group? Where are you with those three?
Yeah, I mean, we're definitely talking to those guys. You know, Jordan and John have the same agent, so that's easy.
Okay.
Package deal. So we'll definitely meet with their representative here and Ryan's as well. And listen, it's, again, these guys have hit free agency. They've earned the right to find out what their market is, and they're not going to – I understand it. They've waited this long. They don't want to sign something that they think, and maybe they don't agree with our value either. That's any position, not necessarily these guys. So that's coming up, you know, March 13th. All these things will start getting answered and fall into place. But if these guys, if we bring them back, great. If not, we'll wish them the best. These are three good young men as people, and every one of them gave everything they had, whether they were starting or whether they were the backup. And so I have nothing but great things to say about all three.
With General Manager Brandon Bean, now let's get to the topic here for the most part, which is the draft picks, the prospects that you're seeing. Overall, can you – I don't ask for a grade, but maybe a sense of what kind of a draft class this is in 2019, where what positions are strong, for instance?
Yeah, I mean, it was at my presser I was talking. You know, I don't want to run through them all, but, I think there is some tight end depth. I think there's some D-line depth. But I think there's depth throughout. I think it's a – right now, without hearing the medical, and I still haven't met some guys, but I think there's more depth in the whole draft than I would say there was a year ago. In what I saw, I think there's going to you're going to find some players a little deeper in the draft potentially. But again, it's February; things change. I've been some years where we had a lot of guys on our board, and the medical grades come back, and some guys are D's and F's, and the docs are worried that they're going to last 3 years. So you start going, man, I had that guy in the second round, and we're worried if he's going to last 3 years. I can't spend a second, third-round pick on that.
You know, at your presser also it came up today about receivers, perceived by many to be an area of need. There's a really good point you made about rookies. Marv used to say this all the time. It takes rookie wide receivers take a year or two to get ready to play.
Yeah.
That might even be more so now with the way the college football is played. You talked about that, how important the interviews are here for the receivers to see what they know and what they can learn, right?
Most definitely. You know, with the spread offense and all the signaling to the sidelines and you got a coach for the skills or a coach. Some guys have one coach for one player telling him exactly what to do. And some guys only line up on the left side every play. It doesn't matter if it's fourth and one, first and ten, if they're backed up, if they're going in. And so now we have to decipher, is he only on that spot because that's all he can learn? Or is he on that spot because that's the way the coach designed the offense just to make it as easy as possible? There was a receiver coming out of school this guy's been 4 or 5 years ago coming out, and same thing. This guy always lined up on their sideline. So in the first quarter, he's playing on the left. The second quarter, he's playing on the right. And I was, you know, it was a lot of telltale. And met the kid, and you find out the kid was a great kid, but he struggled to learn. And so I think they had him close to the sideline to quickly, you know, maybe somebody was telling him coverage. You know, I don't know what happened, but we had learned concerns on him, and it kind of answered itself. The film, that was odd, and then as we met with the young man, you found out, you know, learning was a little bit of an issue for him.
On receivers, and Bills fans, NFL fans can watch these receivers and quarterbacks Saturday on TV. What would you tell fans to look for when they're watching receivers on TV Saturday? What traits, what abilities should they be looking for?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're looking for the guys that who's the team going to when they need a big play? It's third down. I'm talking about
combine workouts now, too.
I thought you were talking about in season.
No, combine workouts, Saturday. Yeah.
You know, here, you're obviously going to look at speed.
Right.
Okay. How clean does a guy catch the ball? You know, we're watching some guys, you know, they catch it here. Some guys like to cradle it. They don't want to. And that's hard in our league if the easy ones, you know, there is a time when you got to do it. You're doing that comeback, and you know, it's the ball's going to come right into your chest and do that. But the guys that are, you know, they don't trust those hands, that's going to probably catch up to them a little bit. Now, the guys that can get away with it are the ones that can super fly,
right,
and they can at least track it well enough. That's still a weapon to, you know, to have. But you're looking at all those measures, the vertical, you know, those guys that are the leapers. That vertical jump's big, you know, when you throw those fade balls. That's a huge weapon. You get down in the red zone and you can throw it up and you can know your guy is going to get it above the rim.
Do you? So you said that there's a lot of depth across the board in this draft. Talk a little bit about the big guys up front. There's some offensive linemen, tackles, guards. You know, you've got to weigh the value of how good you think those guys can play against the guys you have and what you're going to have to pay them to extend them, that kind of thing. Talk about this draft class and the guys down inside guards, centers, that kind of guy.
Yeah, I do think there's some guys, and I think there are some guys that we've even talked to that have position flex. The best offensive linemen are the ones that can play multiple spots, either center guard or guard tackle. Those one-hole guys, you can't have too many of those, or you're going to get yourself in trouble on game day. We like to go with seven active, you know, a guy that can play guard tackle and a guy that can play center guard. If you got one that's center only, it gets tough, you know, to do that. So we do think there's some guys in this draft. Again, you know, I think there's some decent depth there. I'm not going to say there's, you know, elite players, you know, at the top, but I do think there's some depth. And there, again, there's some different flavors. There's some road graders, guys, and then there's some guys that are very athletic that can move with some of these fast DNs that you got to have to, you know, to keep the, you know, the Von Millers and so right off your quarterback.
You jumped on Spencer Long within days of his release by the Jets. What did you like about him?
You know, Spencer, so it's funny, when he got released, I called Jeremiah Cyrils, and Jeremiah and I had a conversation when he left town. I asked him where he was going, what he was doing. He's going back to Nebraska, and he was telling me who all he was working out with and who comes, and he mentioned Spencer.
I think Spencer lives with him.
And he lives in his basement.
Yeah.
He's going to get kicked out, though, when the baby comes, what he told me. But so we had that conversation, but in my mind, Spencer was with the Jets, so I just kind of – And so I texted Jeremiah. I said, "Hey, I just saw the Jets release Spencer. Anything up? Anything you know about?" And he didn't know. He said, "I worked out with him this morning. I hadn't seen him."
Huh.
So checked in with him and said, "Hey, we would have interest. You know, we were interested in Spencer when he hit free agency last year. The Jets paid him, you know, a nice deal, and you know, we had our cap constraints. But he has a lot of starts in the league. He didn't come in as a center. He kind of learned his way as a center. We view Spencer as a pro's pro, fits our culture, a tough guy who can play center, can play guard, and he'll come in and compete. We're not, you know, we don't do this. We just don't believe in saying this guy is, you know, he's slated to start here. We're going to add pieces and competition to our O-line and let the dust settle, you know, how it may. But we were excited to get Spencer, and we structured his deal, so to speak. If he's starting, he'll get paid a little bit more. If he's backed up, then he'll get a little bit less.
You got time for just a couple more? I want to ask you about – you didn't answer. I'm going to ask it. You got to go?
No, I'm good.
We talked about this on the show yesterday, Steve and I. An underrated aspect of Josh Allen's second year is the fact that he doesn't have to share reps anymore. When you come April 15th, when the players show up for off-season workouts,
yep,
he'll be the guy. I mean, he'll get most of the reps, I would think, right?
It's huge. You know, we were in the situation that we were last year. A lot our doing and our planning to try and find a franchise guy. But, you know, we didn't know who we would be able to draft when we went into free agency. And we had, you know, Nathan on the roster and AJ. We signed in free agency. So we just felt like, let's don't rush the rookie. And so Josh was getting mostly the threes. And, you know, while that was good for his growth, keeping him at, you know, the right pace, the negative was he missed out on a lot of reps.
Yeah.
Not only reps in general, but reps with those starters. Then when he started playing, he wasn't playing a lot with that first group, the Charles Clays, the Kelvin Benjamins, the Zay Jones. So he didn't have the rapport. I think that's part of the reason it clicked so well with Robert. You know, he and Robert had probably thrown together more than anybody, and of who was remaining on the roster. So it'll be great. I know it'll be, you know, relieving for Josh to know he's coming in as the one, and we don't have to play the, well, I don't know when you're going to start and all that, you know, that game.
Yeah. And one more for you. You hired Dennis Locke, football research director. Mm-hmm. What's his role going to be? What are you going to have him do?
So Dennis was in Miami. Was aware of him. Dennis Hickey had hired him, and Joe Shane had worked with him even after Dennis had left Miami. And so those two had mentioned him as we started our analytics build here. We kind of just started from ground up. And so he became available with the transition changes that Miami, they didn't get rid of him, but we pounced. We kind of let them have Marvin Allen for that role. And so we reached out and said, hey, we got a guy that we would like to increase his role here. And he did some things with coaching. So right now he'll spend his spring more doing some personnel things for us. And then he'll probably spend, I'd say it's going to be 75-25 in the spring personnel and flipped. 75-25 coaching, just game planning, helping with all the stuff. You know, he'll be looking at running numbers and what teams are doing and tendencies and things like that. Just another added analytical element to what we see on tape.
Thanks for your time. I know you're busy this week. Thank you very much.
Good seeing you. Yeah. Safe drive. If you guys want me to ride back, let me know.
Brandon Bean is the Bills general manager joining us here at the Combine. Chris Brown coming up next. It's One Bills Live presented by Kaleida Health from the NFL Scouting Combine on Buffalo Bills Radio. Welcome back to the show. Welcome back to the Combine in Indy. John Murphy, Steve Tasker, One Bills Live from the NFL Scouting Combine in Indy, joined by our buddy Chris Brown, Bills Insider, BuffaloBills.com. Your first appearance on the show since we've been here at the Combine, but I feel like you've been with us all week. You're sitting right over there doing your work. It's like
2 feet out of the camera shot.
He's right over there. You can't miss it. And it's like he's been with us. He critiques during breaks. He corrects. He tells us, you know, where we're wrong. It's like you've been part of the show
helping
already.
Helping Jay, you know, floor manager.
Yeah.
Sure.
Brought over a big plate of sandwiches that nobody touched a few minutes
ago.
That's
right, yeah.
But thanks for coming by. It's hasn't been an extremely newsworthy combine, especially for the Buffalo Bills yet. But if you pay attention, which I know you do more than anybody, and you listen to what McDermott and Bean have said, there's some interesting places that they're going here, I think.
Yeah, and it was evident to me based on what Bean said today that they, and I mentioned this in a piece that I just put up on BuffaloBills.com, that they are going to pursue all avenues to acquire offensive line talent.
Right.
I mean, Brandon basic, and you know, that might say, well, no duh, they need help. But I think there's a little bit of a balancing act at work there because you don't know who you're going to be competing with for maybe some of the free agent talent that you find attractive, that you deem a fit for the Bills, not knowing if two or three other teams are going to be coming after those guys as well, even within your own division, because the Jets need O-line help desperately.
Do you think?
And they have just as much cap money. So there could be some bidding wars that they don't want to be a part of. Now they might have to go in a different direction. And then there's the draft, which fortunately for the Bills has a deep class this year at tackle and at guard.
That's what I was going to ask. Does it say we're going to pursue all avenues? Does that mean going high in the draft for an offensive lineman? Does that mean that stuff that you didn't think they would do to get an offensive lineman there now is on the table?
Well, going high in the draft on an offensive
lineman,
well,
number nine, top 10,
is probably going to be predicated on what they're able to acquire in free agency first. I mean, if they take a swing and miss, like let's just say hypothetically, they're thinking we need a veteran starting guard in free agency. Got to get one. We need some kind of leader on that front that's got experience in the league, has been there and done that. Playoff experience would be a bonus. This would all be great.
And they
bang.
Lose out.
And let's also get a tackle that we know can play and line up every week. You know, if they only get one of those, you know, now maybe you do have to go high in the draft on an offensive lineman. If you get both of those pieces, maybe you can wait a little bit. So, you know, there are shifting dynamics there that are going to be taking place. But I think it's safe to say, based on what we were getting from Brandon Bean today, that they're probably going to make use of free agency to add on the offensive line and the draft to add on the offensive. They need numbers, guys.
Yeah. I came back from the Senior Bowl. I think I told you. I know I told Steve. And I observed Brandon Bean just lock onto the offensive lineman down there in Mobile. I mean, he wouldn't leave the offensive line workouts. And I thought, oh, shoot, he's gonna draft an offensive lineman. But you're saying maybe free agents as well?
Yeah, I think it's both. It has to be both because right now you've got three guys who are starters at the end of the year who are free agents. And who's to say any of them will be back? It wasn't a year to write home about
no.
for offensive line performance.
No.
So you've got John Miller, Ryan Groy, and Jordan Mills. That's center, right guard, and right tackle for the last half of the season. And they could all be out the door. And what you have behind them, to a large degree, are backup-type players. So you have to get starting-caliber talent. And as much as you want to say, yeah, it's a deep O-line class and this is great, I don't think you want to go into the year hoping that if you added hypothetically three rookies that they're all ready to play football and start Sundays and line up next to each other, albeit at that.
You and I were talking off-air this morning about the role that new offensive line coach Bobby Johnson might have to play in whatever they do in the offensive line. Are they counting on him to make a difference with the new faces they bring in? Does he bring in any new faces of his own? I mean, remember Eric Wood on our show said typically an offensive line coach especially will bring in guys he's worked with.
Right, because coaches always like what they know for sure.
Yeah.
Because everything, anybody they don't
guys.
Know. Yeah, they trust them. At least they know what they got, and they can work with it. But
what do you think?
I mean, and a perfect example for Bobby Johnson is Rams free agent guard Roger Saffold. He coached him in Indiana in college. So there's a relationship there. Now, does that mean the Bills are going after Roger Saffold? Well, I don't know. But there is a connection, a line that you can draw from one guy to the other. It's a position of need. He's a veteran player, proven veteran, pelts on the wall, starts under his belt, played on a Super Bowl team. I mean, he makes a lot of sense to me at the guard position for the Bills, and I would love to see them go after him. And you know there's hopefully the relationship, albeit several years in the rearview mirror going back to the college days of this player who's now 31 years old, you would hope that could at least open the lines of communication and give the Bills a fighting chance to go after him if he even gets to the market.
One more question about offensive linemen. Do you think that there's any future in Buffalo for the three that you mentioned, Groy, John Miller, and Jordan Mills? Because I asked the question of Brandon, you know, when he was just on the show with us, and he was noncommittal. Didn't rule out bringing him back, but certainly noncommittal about whether there's interest there.
Yeah, I don't get the sense that any of them are a high priority
right now.
Agree.
At least I think three of them will come back. Maybe.
I think all three right now, as they see it, based on what they know about this draft class and what should be available in free agency, I don't know this, but just trying to read the tea leaves a little bit, it feels like they see them as fallback options. I could be wrong, but they're not banging the table like we want this guy back.
Right.
Just as Brandon did on your air here a short time ago, you know. And you also have to assess this. This is why you have those end of season evaluations on every player on your roster. Jordan Mills, you know, what was his best game? What was his worst game? What's his overall body of work for us this past season? Did he regress in 2018 from what he did in 2017? Is he already tapped out? There's no more ascent left to his game. He's reached his ceiling. He is what he is. Can we get by with that? Can we do better? Next guy, John Miller, 25 years old, has a lot of starting experience for a young player, but was he any good? Did he regress last year? I think a lot of people would say he did. Ryan Groy looked magnificent when he filled in for Eric Wood two seasons ago in 2016 and played the last seven games at center. He hasn't looked that good the last 2 years when he's had an opportunity to get back on the field. Why is that? And if it is coaching, how much faith do you put in Bobby Johnson that he can make that guy right again and a serviceable player that can help us? He can make John Miller a starting caliber guard again. If you believe in all of that, knowing what you know about the players, well, then, yes, you make a concerted effort to bring one or two of them back. Short of that, I think they're going to be looking for better options.
And this we've been told, I think Charles Davis told us, this is a deep offensive line draft.
Yeah.
So that being said, there are always these guys that if you do get a better guy in the fifth round this year, he might have been gone in the fourth round in years past or the late third round in the past.
Because the depth is pushing him down.
That goes at the bottom of the draft as well. There may be a better crop of rookie free agents ready to be signed by teams after the draft than there would have been in other years because there are so many guys at the top of this draft. But you really can't count on that, right? I mean,
you can't count on anything in the draft.
Right.
Because you don't know what's going to happen
unless
next.
Unless you pick the guy, you don't know what's going to happen
unless
next.
You're on the clock.
Right.
Then you're okay.
You don't know what's going on.
You got a chance.
You really don't. So, yeah, it's...
But that's what my thought in that was, there'll be guys
available perhaps later in this draft that will be better options for the Bills going forward than any of the three guys we're talking about at their offensive line that we're starting at the end.
But again, we have to go back to this, Steve. Even if the Bills are able to get a veteran guard that they can plug and play and put in the lineup, even if they get maybe they want to upgrade at center and they get a really good center in free agency. So you got a guard and a center in the middle of your line. You go with Wyatt Teller at left guard. You got Dawkins at left tackle. And you still need a starting offensive tackle. So are you drafting that in the fifth round? Probably not if you can do better. So you probably still have to invest a day two pick at the very least to get a guy that can start for you right away, right out of school. And those are harder to come by, too, because nobody's in a three-point stance anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, and this is a team that still wants to run the football, I believe. Yeah. So, you know, there's so many moving parts to it that you could pick any scenario, and any one of them could come true.
Yeah.
But I think what the facts are is they got three spots they got to fill on this offensive line, the starting line. And they're going to have to use every means necessary to make sure they acquire enough to put on the field and be a better offensive line than they were last year.
Chris Brown, Bills Insider, BuffaloBills.com. Let's turn your attention, Chris, to receivers for a moment here. And I thought Brandon Bean a minute ago made a really good nuanced point about how important the meetings will be, the interviews they do with these draft prospects, because of the tough transition from a college-wide receiver these days to the NFL. You need to know, can this guy learn? Can he learn quickly? Because the Bills need help right now at wide receiver.
Yeah, and I know Sean McDermott addressed some of those 15-minute interview sessions and what they pull from those as well. And the thing with the receiver position is the responsibilities of cognitively thinking on your feet in a split second in the college ranks does not exist anymore in most cases. Because what happens, and you can watch it on TV and see it, receivers lined up wide, turns to the sideline, looks for his signal from whoever's signaling him, be it the receiver's coach, quarterback's coach, whoever it is, they're giving him a signal, which could be one of a few things. It could be A, you're looking at cover three, run this route, or B, this is the route you're running, ignore the coverage, or C, get over there and block.
Right.
And
pretty basic.
That's how they get their instructions now to a large degree in college football. I mean, Steve, that's got to be in stark contrast to what you were dealing with in college.
Well, it's difficult because the coaches are the ones doing the work.
Yeah.
The coaches are the ones thinking for these kids. And I'll tell you one thing that got them to that was the rules in the NCAA. They only get them for 20 hours a week, right? So they're limited. And the 3 hours of the game counts as in the 20 hours.
Yeah.
So they've got to squeeze in a lot of teaching in a short amount of time. And you want to teach them on the field. So you teach them what they do on the field and the routes and stuff, but you can't teach them concepts and adjustments and film study and all that because there's just no time to do it. So
they'd have to do it on their own. And I know some college quarterbacks do that.
Oh, sure.
Mason Rudolph in last year's draft was a big proponent of that. But he was a graduate student. So he had the extra time to go and crunch film and stuff like that. So now what happens? As talent evaluators, Bean and McDermott, in these 15-minute interview sessions, have to find out how the kid was instructed. Because they'll put the film on there and say, hey, what are you doing on this play? And he's like, he told me to run a 7. Who told you? Like, now they've got to find out, okay, who is thinking for him? How much thinking did he have to do on his own? And if he didn't do any of that thinking, now they've got to invest more time in that kid, if they like him as a physical prospect, to say, can he learn?
Right.
You don't even know if he can learn. What are his learning capabilities? What's his retention level? So now they probably have to bring that kid in for a visit to One Bills Drive in March or April and say, I'm going to put you on the board here. I'm going to show you three plays. And they're going to draw up three plays for him. And then they're going to talk to him for another 10 minutes about his life, his girlfriend, you know, his favorite restaurant. And then 10 minutes later, they're going to come back. Hey, let's go through those three plays again. What are you doing on this? What are you doing on this? What are you doing on that? And then they're going to assess retention level based on that. I mean, those are the steps you have to take now to see if a receiver that you like is even capable of absorbing a weekly game plan, a playbook that's this thick, and react in a split second on the field on a Sunday.
Chris,
that's a lot of extra work for them now.
We're running out of time here, but I want to ask you on the concept of receivers, our Twitter poll question today, which high-profile player you want the Bills to acquire this offseason. We put Antonio Brown on that list, and it's getting strong support. A week ago, I would have said absolutely no way I'm staying away from him. But you were telling me, actually, you almost changed my mind already about a conversation you had with a Steelers insider about Brown and actually what went down with him last year and what type of guy he is.
Yeah, I was digging through the weeds with some of my Steelers friends, and I was trying to get a handle on whether Antonio Brown is just a petulant person, me guy, doesn't care about football, just cares about himself and his own image, or is he a guy that just had an issue and wanted to get out of there? And I'm finding that it's the latter. His main issue is Ben Roethlisberger, who has said a lot of stuff on his radio shows up down in Pittsburgh to kind of chap Antonio Brown. Anything from saying, well, yeah, I mean, there was a game, I think, against Denver where he threw a pick late in the game, and the target on the play was Antonio Brown. And it was kind of like that Malcolm Butler play in the Super Bowl, one of those quick hitters. And he basically said on his radio show, well, I throw that thing four more times. I would just throw it to Juju every time the next time. It's like,
you can't do
that. Are you kidding me? Like, you know, Ben, great quarterback and all, but not very diplomatic.
No.
And that's not the only instance. There's several others. And I think it just got to a point where Antonio is ready to move on and not play with Ben Roethlisberger as his teammate anymore. He knows it's Ben's show, so he wants to take his show somewhere else. And that's not to be the top banana necessarily, but I just think he believes there are greener pastures for him elsewhere. There's too much friction with one guy, and it's a guy that's not going anywhere in Pittsburgh. So, and I asked, you know, what's this guy's work ethic like? And Antonio Brown is a guy that has to do more than everybody else on the roster. If there's a guy that's going to stay out there on the jugs machine and catch 50 balls, Antonio's going to stay out there and catch 51. I mean, when Drew Rosenhaus's agent was talking about him holding out last year and he needs a new contract, he's not coming back, everybody laughed in Pittsburgh because Antonio Brown's the kind of guy that can't stay away. He has a voracious appetite to be the best guy in the building, the best player on the field, the best receiver in the league. And if you want that on your team, that's not to say he's not going to be a little wacky. We know the Facebook stuff he did in the locker room after a playoff win.
That's right.
That's the wacky kind of stuff that he might do from time to time, but it's not vindictive. It's not destructive to your team. It just might be a little bit of a headache once in a while. So you got to weigh all that.
Does it give you any concern that he's early 30s, 31, going to be 32?
No, because he keeps himself in immaculate shape. He can run for days. Let's not forget this. Over these last six seasons where he's led the league in receiving yardage, total touchdowns, all of that stuff, he was a punt returner for five of those last 6 years.
Yeah.
They only took him off punt return last year, and they had to tell him because he wanted to keep doing it. Mm-hmm. It's just a sign of him always wanting to do more, be the best, all of that stuff.
So I think
it's a better match for somebody that needs that kind of player than a lot of people would think. Better than Odell Beckham. I'm on the Brown side of the fence. Then Odell Beckham's Hollywood, me, you know.
Yeah.
That
so
kind of stuff.
You know where I'm going with this. For a team in desperate need of wide receiving help, a team that's very concerned about its team culture, I'm talking about the Buffalo Bills, should they?
And with money to spend.
Money to spend.
Yeah.
Should they be looking at this?
Well, they've got to invest time.
Yeah.
And really get to know the person. And if they feel comfortable with all of those things that I – and probably they're going to have to dig even deeper than that.
Yeah. Deeper than you.
Well, I'm talking about a 15-minute conversation. They got to do a lot more than that.
Yeah. Right.
If they dig deeper and can check all the boxes where they feel comfortable, then, yeah, I think you have to take a look at
it.
The cost might be too steep. We know Brandon Bean doesn't like parting with draft currency, and he would have to part with some pretty important draft currency if he did want to take a swing at that.
Yeah.
But you'd certainly fill a gigantic hole, and you'd have a guy that you could throw the ball to 8 to 12 times a game every single week, whether he's covered or not, and he's going to make plays for you.
Thanks, Brownie.
Hey, what do you got coming up on the website? What should we look for?
Got quick hits up now. It's a summary of the highlights of what Bean talked about today. So if you don't have time to watch the whole video on BuffaloBills.com, you can go there for your drive-through window version of it.
If you don't have 15 minutes, really, is it
going to
be
there? We know how people live these days. And then we're also going to have a feature story on finding the fits, what Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott do in that room, and how quickly sometimes they decide this guy's not for us.
Okay, thanks.
You got it. Right,
Chris Brown, Bills Insider, BuffaloBills.com. Steve and I coming back with more. One Bills Live from the Combine in Indy. This is Buffalo Bills Radio. Welcome back to the show. Welcome back to Indy. John Murphy, Steve Tasker in our NFL Combine setup here inside the Indiana Convention Center. Chris Brown was fired up. I really think that Steelers thing is interesting with Antonio Brown. Steve, he's got Brownies. Again, I was right at the front of the line last week saying, no, don't even go near Antonio Brown. Now, if that's true, and that was a pretty closely connected Steelers insider that Brownie talked to.
Well, yeah.
You got to think about it. Well, yeah, you do your due diligence. You talk to him. You say, this can never happen again. You can't quit on your team at any point, let alone late in the season when you're going for a playoff spot. But he's the best receiver in the game. If he's available, you got to think about it if you're the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, it's a lot of money.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of draft capital because he's not a free agent. You got to trade for him. It's not just the money. It's also the money and draft picks.
Premium draft picks.
Yeah, it's not like a 5 and a 6.
Right.
It's not like a 6 and a 7. It's like a number. It's like a 1.
It's a 1 somewhere, yeah.
And the money. That's a lot.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money. And I don't know that that's the right fit for Buffalo. Now, here's the thing. This is all I've heard about him, too, and I got to echo what Brownie said. The guy works hard. He's a fun, good teammate who got treated poorly by one of his teammates, by Ben, and he's didn't want to stand for it. He's done. And so he called it quits. Calling it quits is a hard thing for people to live with in the NFL.
Yeah.
Bills fans know it all too well. So I don't know that he'd be the right fit in Buffalo. I don't know that much money, even though the Bills have a pile of it, you want to throw it at Antonio Brown and whatever draft picks you got to give up. It's a steep price. And he's a great player. And it would solve a problem right away. I mean, like, done.
Yeah.
But I don't know what the unforeseen consequences would be.
Yeah.
So it's interesting to think about. I'm with you though. I don't have a problem with him as a person, as a player, or anything like that. I think he's a great player, and I think he'd help. But it's a lot of money and a lot of draft capital.
Yeah. Something to think about. We got another hour to go, and we're going to start the next hour with Matt Bowen, former Bills safety, now with NFL Matchup on ESPN. He'll join us when we come back. One Bills Live, presented by Kalina Health from the Combine in Indy. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.